Hello? Good evening, everyone. My name is Kevin Godburn. I'm the Youth Services Program Director here for the town of Westport. And on behalf of the Department of Human Services, Westport Together, and the Westport Prevention Coalition, I'd like to welcome you all and thank you for attending tonight. It's great to see that we have some students here in the audience. I have a quick plug for two upcoming programs that we have. One on October 23rd, we'll have Dr. Michelle Albright from Albright Consulting. She'll be presenting Parenting with Patience, Finding Balance in Anxious Times. Please watch for more information about that event, as well as more information on Westport Together, which is our new rebrand and refocus of the PYD, Positive Youth Development, which many of you may be familiar with. And also, if you're a student or a parent of a student who's thinking about changing your use of nicotine, the Westport Human Services and the Westport PD are pleased to bring Project Connect from the Care and Treatment Centers to our community. Through the Project Connect program, participants plan, prepare, and develop skills that will help them find their own success through the quitting process. If you're interested in participating in this program or would just like to learn more about it, please visit our information table in the lobby. You can also speak to me or to Maggie Birchill, who's here from the Care and Treatment Centers. So on to tonight. Vaping's become one of the most pressing issues facing our young population, as we hear from both parents and students. It's something that's gripped national headlines, and we certainly feel it here at the local level. I had the pleasure of seeing tonight's speaker at a conference last year and found the information very fascinating and informative, and I hope you all will as well. Trisha Dahl is a senior research assistant at the Yale University School of Medicine, working directly for Dr. Suchitra Krishnan Sarin.
Okay.
Since 2001, she has worked on a number of clinical trials in the area of adult and adolescent substance abuse. She has done extensive work with adults who are heavy drinkers in an effort to find a way to effectively treat alcoholism. She has also been involved in researching the effects of e-cigarettes on adolescent behavior as part of Yale's Tobacco Center of Regulatory Science, which recently completed a 5-year grant looking at how flavors and sweeteners affect the initiation and development of addiction to current tobacco and modified risk tobacco products. Currently, the group is studying the influence of flavors, sweeteners, and other constituents on tobacco products, on appeal, use, and abuse. Ms. Dahl has been extensively involved in the dissemination of research findings about e-cigarettes to the local communities, including schools, public and private, PTAs, athletic coaches and school administration, town councils, and juvenile review boards. She's traveled to over 50 schools in Connecticut, where she has presented talks about adolescent vaping behaviors and potential concerns to parents, administrators, teachers, and students. Please join me in welcoming Trisha Dahl.
Hello. Thank you guys all for having me here. So just to let you know, the purpose of this presentation is just to inform you about youth vaping. We're the only people in the country who do research with adolescents and vaping. I'm going to start out a little bit slow just so everybody's on the same page, and then we're going to get more into potential health concerns, federal and state regulations, and how you can talk to your students or child about vaping. So this is our group here that does the research. We just finished one $20 million grant over the past 5 years, and we just finished the first year of our second $20 million grant. What you have here is prevalence data. Increases in adolescent substance abuse from 2017 to 2018 was the largest recorded in 43 years. This is data that's done in public and private secondary schools. If you look right here, again, this is past 30-day nicotine use. 6.1% of eighth graders, that went up 2.6 from the previous year. 16% of 10th graders, doubled from 2017. And 21% of 12th graders, that nearly doubled from 11%. This data shows 1 in 5 seniors are vaping. We just heard from the FDA that preliminary release from 2019 data results shows more like 1 in 4. So these are the amount of 12th graders in the past 30 days. Any nicotine, that's cigarettes, cigars, cigarillos, hookah, smokeless tobacco, or vaping. Vaping was the third most common form of substance use in high school seniors and 10th graders after alcohol and marijuana, and second most common among 8th graders after alcohol. So this just, it's kind of hard to see this here. I know this was just on the news last night as well. Just shows a 78% increase from 2017 to 2018 with your e-cigarettes right here, and this is cigarettes. Now this is the past 30 days with high school, and then you have middle school over 7 years. So that's a 48% increase with middle schools. Okay, so the basic e-cigarette, does it matter if it's a Juul, a Mod, or a vape pen? All has the same components somewhere within it. There's a rechargeable battery, a mouthpiece where they vape from, a pod or a cartridge which holds the juice or the liquid, and there's an atomizer that heats the liquid. So the e-cigarette has evolved tremendously over time. The first generation were called Cigalikes because they looked just like a cigarette. They came in one dose of nicotine, one flavor, tobacco. You used it until nothing else came out, then you threw it away and you had to buy a new one. Then came the second generation. These are the tank style or vape pens. Now you have a rechargeable battery. You can choose from many different colors, you can choose any level of nicotine, and you can choose from over 15,000 different flavors. The third generation are the mods and mechanical mods. So the first generation of these devices, these are the strongest, most powerful devices. They're usually about the size of a deck of cards. You can change the temperature that you heat your liquid at, and you can also change the power that you're heating the liquid with. The first generation were mostly made of plastic, and they did not have an integrated circuit. The user would have to put everything together themselves. Without the integrated circuit, it had no heating shutoffs. Those are the devices that were blowing up. Then came the devices that were stainless steel and glass. They had an integrated circuit, so once they reached a certain temperature, they would stop heating. The fourth generation are the pod-style devices. The most popular devices in this category are the Juul and the Soarin. These are small, discreet, usually made of stainless steel, and they're meant to be used in places where you don't want to be seen that you're vaping. So every single e-liquid out there has 5 main components. Propylene glycol provides the throat hit. Something cigarette smokers say they like about smoking cigarettes is the way it feels in the back of their throat. Propylene glycol does this with the e-liquid. Vegetable glycerin creates the clouds. Something like the Mod makes a huge cloud of aerosol, whereas something like the Juul has a very small cloud. That's because the Juul has very little vegetable glycerin. These two together make up 100% of the base. They're referred to on packaging as PG and VG, and they're often seen as 50-50, 60-40, 70-30, depending on what the user is looking for. These two chemicals are FDA approved to be added to food. They add a semi-sweet aftertaste. They have never been FDA approved for constant inhalation. The other chemicals that we see mostly is ethanol. That's our biggest concern right now. Certain levels of ethanol can be toxic to brain activity. Then there's nicotine and flavors. Like I said, over 15,000 of them. So one of the biggest myths out there is it's just a water vapor. What's the big deal? It's actually not a water vapor. It's not a water vapor at all. It's an aerosol. Water evaporates. Aerosols do not evaporate. Aerosols are much larger particles that remain suspended into the air till gravity pulls them down. These particles also go deep into your lungs. Aerosols are irritants to your lungs, and they cause inflammation to your lung tissue. So whereas water vapor would evaporate on the lung tissue, if you have any liquid, whether it's THC oil, e-liquid, or essential oils, or the vitamin oils, it's an oil base. If you spill oil on a counter and you come back a week later, it's still going to be there until somebody cleans it up, the mom. So, just to go into some differences between the two different devices. So the older generation, well, the Juul is made up of salt-based nicotine. And salt-based nicotine is free-based nicotine with salt added. And the reason someone would add salt to nicotine is because nicotine is very, very irritating. Once you get past about 16 milligrams of nicotine, 18 milligrams, it's too harsh to vape. So people will then turn over to the salt-based nicotines. Salt-based nicotines adds benzoic acid to the free-based nicotine, which makes the nicotine much more tolerable, and you can have much higher levels of nicotine. Problem with benzoic acid is when you mix benzoic acid with heat and vitamin C, which a lot of the e-liquids have, you create benzene. And benzene is a known carcinogen. The Juul has 59 milligrams of nicotine. That's one pack of cigarettes, 200 puffs. We have kids that do our research study who have never touched a cigarette before and are smoke vaping the equivalent of one pod in about a day to a day and a half. That's the equivalent of a pack of cigarettes a day to someone who's never touched a cigarette before. This is higher than any concentration that we've ever seen in a tobacco product. Older generation devices, anywhere from 0 to 36 milligrams of nicotine. Like I said, I don't know anybody who uses 36 milligrams of nicotine because it's very, very irritating. So here we have a number of chemicals that make up a flavor. This is a very, very short list. Something like cotton candy has 20 different chemicals that make up that one flavor. Research to date suggests that some flavors can cause inflammatory responses in the lung cells, and inhaling flavoring agents, which are often aldehydes, pose a health concern since these chemicals are similar to toxic aldehydes found in cigarettes. The three that are highlighted create a buttery, creamy texture. So butterscotch, creme brulee, vanilla all have it. But even flavors like strawberry, which you wouldn't think has a creamy texture, has at least one of these. The more chemicals that are together, the more toxic they are. 90% of the 15,000 flavors on the market have at least one of those chemicals. Cinnamaldehyde comes in cinnamon bun, red hot, fireball. Comes with a warning on the bottle that the kids aren't reading. It says you can't use it in a plastic pot or a plastic cartridge because it's a corrosive. You have to use it in a glass pod, but go ahead and vape it. So what's the big deal? Why are we so concerned about this healthy alternative? The problem is it's nicotine. And for years and years, we've talked to our kids about tobacco. We've never talked to our kids about nicotine. They have no idea what nicotine does to their system. So just saying that something has nicotine doesn't mean a lot to them. But nicotine is a stimulant, and stimulants are highly addicting. So what happens when they vape is they inhale the aerosol, goes to their brain, to the pleasure center of their brain, releases a chemical called dopamine. Gives them a temporary feeling of pleasure. This is what they like. Unfortunately, our body naturally produces dopamine. So they win a game against their arch rivals. They ace the test that they thought they failed. That feeling of excitement is your body's natural production of dopamine. When you vape on a regular basis, our bodies are very efficient. It slowly cuts back on the amount of dopamine that it produces because it doesn't need to keep producing a lot of dopamine. Something else is coming on board producing it. Well, now when the individual decides to stop vaping, they don't feel the way that they used to because their brain does not have enough dopamine production in it. And the only way that they can start to feel normal again is by reintroducing nicotine. That's an addiction. Those dopamine receptors take a very long time to come back again. But at least they will come back. Things like the wiring changes that happen in their brain, the firing that happens until they're 25 years old, because that's when your brain stops developing. Things like attention, memory, and learning are all affected by this level of nicotine, and those things don't change back. Once that brain is rewired, it's not going to change back. So we know it's not only affecting the brain, it's also affecting different parts of the body. We know that it increases your clotting tendency in your blood, causes bronchospasms, tremors, and muscle pain. Vegetable glycerin converts into your body into lactic acid. Too much lactic acid causes cramps, pains, and aches in your muscles. Gastrointestinal problems. So there's a muscle on top of your stomach that holds all the acids down. When you have too much stimulant on board, that muscle relaxes, and the acids come up. Heartburn, reflux, dry mouth. It's a salt-based nicotine. Eat too much pizza, too many potato chips, you're going to be thirsty. That's what nicotine salt does to you. Your brain causes dizziness, lightheaded, headache, sleep disorders, just too much stimulation at once, and kids don't know what to do with all of that. The heart rate, again, it releases adrenaline. So it's going to cause your heart to start racing. Over time, coronary artery constriction, so the blood vessels get smaller. And insulin resistance. So we've found that e-cigarettes, nicotine specifically, reduces the amount of insulin that your pancreas produces. Someone that has diabetes doesn't produce enough insulin. They take insulin to make up for it, so their blood sugar levels are where they're supposed to be and their organs all function the way they're supposed to. Someone that vapes every day also has a reduced production of insulin. They're not taking anything. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. We can speculate it may be like diabetes, but we don't know. These are some of the side effects that people have reported. And someone may not be allergic to propylene glycol if it's added to food, but when you inhale it as an aerosol, your body reacts to it differently. So is there a gateway effect? We do longitudinal research in 9 different high schools across the state. We ask the kids the same questions every year from the time they're a freshman till they're a senior. We have data that proves that kids are 6 times more likely to move on to conventional cigarettes once they start vaping, because cigarettes will always be easier to get. So vaping other substances, vaping THC oil is a huge problem in the high schools. It's a way for them to smoke marijuana without the smell being there. Very little vapor, looks the same as e-liquid with just nicotine in it. We know marijuana has medicinal purposes. We don't even know if there are medicinal purposes to vaping marijuana. It's still an oil base. It still has all the proponents that would cause inflammation in the lung tissue, and it's an immediate and intense high that you get from it. So according to the 2018 Monitoring the Future survey results, 7.5%, now this I'm sure is much higher now, of 12th graders, 7% of 10th graders, and 2.6% of 8th graders have vaped marijuana in the past 30 days. Dabbing. This is the newest craze, and I know that in the news, you hear of a school once in a while. I hear of the schools on a weekly basis that are sending kids to the emergency room from using dab wax. It's the latest marijuana craze. It's described as freebasing marijuana. It's butane hash oil, or an oil or wax-like substance that's extracted from the marijuana plant. You attach it to a nail in a rig, or you can use something that's called a dab pen. The effects are felt instantaneously. Many, many overdoses. It is not healthier than the combustible form of marijuana. Some of the side effects here: rapid heartbeat, blackouts, feeling like something's crawling under your skin, loss of consciousness, and psychotic symptoms like paranoia and hallucinations. A combustible marijuana joint has 15% THC, which is the psychoactive ingredient in marijuana. THC oil has closer to 60%. Dab wax has 90% of the psychoactive ingredient. We used to think that you'd never built up a tolerance to marijuana. We have many studies that prove differently, that you need much more to get the same feeling. Quite frankly, why would we need THC oil and wax if you didn't need more to get to feeling the way that you wanted to? So these companies are spending close to $200 million a year advertising to the youth. They advertise it as a healthy alternative. Kids don't hear the alternative part, they hear healthy. Alternative to smoking, they mean, and after doing the amount of tobacco cessation that I have in the past, we know that the kids have cut back so far on smoking combustible cigarettes. So they weren't smoking cigarettes. So what kind of alternative was this for them? 25% of Juul is now owned by Philip Morris, big tobacco company. That's why you hear so many more commercials on the radio than you ever did before. We're hoping to get a lot more things changed so we can control this, but right now it is a major epidemic. There isn't a child out there that's not going to be offered a device at some point. And I tell these kids all the time, have a plan in your head of how you're going to deal with this. Because when you're a freshman, like one mom told me, on a varsity tennis team, and all the girls are vaping on the bus, what do you do? That's a hard thing for me to think of as an adult. You have to have a plan and play. We used to be able to target certain people. They're the cigarette smokers. Everybody's vaping. It doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter the race. It doesn't matter how much money they have. They're an athlete. The athletes are vaping on the bus. It gives them that immediate adrenaline rush that they want so they can perform better and great in their game. They don't think of the long term, what this oil is going to do and how this is affecting their heart. They think of immediately, and it's going to make them perform better in their game. So there is no one group that this is targeting. This is everywhere. And we get it. They smell really good, from Lucky Charms and juicy fruit to unicorn puke. Okay, adults don't need those. They had menthol and tobacco flavored. So obviously that's for kids. They taste really good. The kids don't know any long-term health effects. Why wouldn't they use it? Because they don't know any of this other stuff, and none of this other stuff is talked to about them, which is why I go into the high schools to try and educate them. I get it. I have a 15 and 16-year-old myself. This is their time when they explore their independence and figure out who they are. And they're going to do what they want to do. But if this is going to be advertised, tell them everything. And then if they still decide to use it, then they can do that. It's just not fair, the information that's being told to them. So I like to tell the kids, come up with a plan. Again, as a mom, I am not a proponent of stretching the truth. However, when it comes to this, I've tried it and I really don't like the way it makes me feel. It's okay. We can deal with that one little white lie there. I have asthma. People with asthma who vape are the cases that were in the news, and I'm not going to speak much on those, but we did find out from the CDC that almost half of them had a history of asthma as well. So think of something that you can possibly say, because it's better to have a plan and not need it than not have a plan and need it. My two boys couldn't be any different. They're both athletes. One of them's like Switzerland. He's the middle guy. Everybody likes him. No enemies. And he's a people pleaser. It's hard for a people pleaser to say no to people with peer pressure. My younger one, not so much. If you like him, great. If you don't, he doesn't care. I don't worry about that type of situation because I know that he's going to stick to his guns. So talk to your kids. Talk to them about how to deal with this kind of thing. Put it all out there and let them make their own decision. You are never going to be able to catch up with everything they're doing, with the devices that are coming out, with the things that are sold on the internet to help them hide their devices. You just Google on Amazon how to hide your vape, and you'd be surprised all the things that show up. Back in the olden days, when I was younger, this was supposed to be for drugs. People hid their drugs in here. Now they're hiding their vape products. You'll never be able to find it if they want to use it. You're not even going to be able to know what they look like. These are all devices. I mean, you don't even know what you're looking for. Some of the devices I see in person, and I'm like, what is that? It's an e-cigarette. So what's the FDA doing to address youth and vaping? Well, as we all know, there's things in place finally. Back in 2016, every single company that was selling e-cigarettes or devices had, don't quote me, I want to say a year and a half, almost 2 years to get their products registered. Everything they sell, every PGVG ratio, every level of nicotine, every flavor, every size, costs a lot of money. So a lot of places didn't do it, but nobody was checking up on it. So now President Trump said, okay, well, this is going to happen, and we're going to start checking it up. It's going to be a lot of work, so there's going to be a lot of new jobs, because I don't know how they're going to keep up with all of these, but there is a plan in place. These people all knew about it, and they had until 2018 to get their devices registered. Banning flavors in cigars, including little cigars. So we did research on those as well, and you'd be amazed at the flavors these little cigars called cigarillos have. They smell good. I don't know how good a cigar tastes, but most of the kids aren't actually smoking the cigar. They use the wrapper, the tobacco leaves, and they're filling it with other substances. And then banning the marketing of e-cigarette products to children, such as using like a Joe Camel type thing. And possibly banning menthol flavors in cigarettes and cigars. Canada has banned menthol cigarettes a long time ago. Menthol, we already know, helps mask the nicotine. So you can vape much higher levels and smoke much higher levels of nicotine with menthol on board. And the same goes with flavors. So the law right now, because it is not October yet, the law is if you are under 18, it is illegal for you not only to buy, which as of October 1st in the state of Connecticut, it'll be 21 to buy. It's illegal for you to use or possess an e-cigarette, e-liquid, or anything that belongs to an e-cigarette. $50 for the first offense, $100 for each additional. It's supposed to be a mandatory court appearance if they're under 16. Our courts are so inundated, unfortunately, that's not happening. People that are selling them, whether it's the kids in high school selling the Juul pods for $5 a pod, I've seen the baggies full of them. They can buy them four pods for $14.99. So they make $5 every fourth pod that they sell. Or it's convenience stores that are upcharging the kids who don't have ID. We've heard that as well. $200 for the first offense, $500 for each additional. So with that being said, I'm sure I filled your brain with a lot of stuff right now. Do I have any questions out there? Yes. As far as I know, it's very, very hard to read how they write these statutes, but as far as I know, it's 21 to set. So you can't buy a device if you're under 21 or the liquid. The whole state will be like that. But right now, and it will continue to be illegal to possess if you're under 18. And from what I understand, there's a lot going on in your town here that they're planning on creating ordinance to ban flavors as well. No. Well, you can say it, because I don't even know about this part of it.
For those who don't know me, I'm the state representative, Jonathan Steinberg. Just to clarify what you said, as of October 1st, we're raising the age to 21. The penalties that you saw before for individuals, but more importantly for manufacturers and for vaping shops have greatly increased. Enforcement mechanisms have greatly changed. We're really trying to stamp it out for underage kids. The governor, met today, Governor Cuomo of New York, they're planning to coordinate policies on recreational marijuana and vaping. And the governor is not sure if he has the authority via executive order to ban flavors, but I will tell you straight up, definitely not prepared to do that in special session as soon as he calls one. We did not ban flavors last year because we thought that Surgeon General Gottlieb, that FDA was going to do something about it, but then he retired instead of doing anything. So if they don't do anything at the federal level, you saw that there is some talk about those things. We will do it on a state level, no later than next spring.
Okay, so flavor for the state. Sorry
about that. Yes. So with these new laws, what's the role of the schools, you know, high schools and so on to enforce this?
He wants to know what the rules are in the schools about doing this. So every school, how they deal with this within the school. So I don't know how they deal with it here. Quite frankly, punishing is not always the answer. These kids have to be educated. We've seen so many kids, they get suspended from school, so they're home vaping. They get their devices taken away, their parents get it back. If they don't understand why
educating these kids so they know what they're putting into their system and can probably make the decision themselves not to use it.
Yes. So following on that, we've got all these kids who are addicted to nicotine. If the best practices out there for nicotine cessation for teens, like, actually do down with that work.
So we're actually working right now on a study. So we've done smoking cessation for years in the past. Right now, there is nothing in place that's specifically for vaping. The cues for vaping are so much different than the cues for smoking cigarettes that some mechanisms will work that we used to use in the past, and that's what we're telling social workers and therapists right now. But there's more behind the scenes, so NIH has asked us with the FDA to start working on a new research program. So we are in the process now, we're halfway through our focus group with kids who are vaping already, trying to gather as much information so we can put together a vaping cessation study.
Yes, would you say recreational marijuana is as bad as vaping? Smoking marijuana or vaping, is one less harmful to you than the other?
Smoking combustible marijuana?
Regular marijuana, like rolling a joint.
Right, not. So, right now, from what we have here, yes.
It
combustible,
is.
Not one is healthier than the other. So you have carbon monoxide with
right.
combustible.
Right.
And there's other byproducts, but not right now. We're not seeing that vaping marijuana or vaping e-cigarettes is healthier.
Okay, thank you.
What about the concentration of THC? Because you talk about the nicotine, how it's much higher in the vaping than the conventional cigarette. What about the THC concentration?
Well, with the DAC wax, yes, and the THC oil. So I remember I had that slide up. So combustible marijuana joint is only 15% of the psychoactive ingredient. The oil is closer to 60% and the wax is closer to 90%. Yes?
I just wanted to add something about the nicotine cessation. And so the town of Westport has hired me to lead groups in nicotine cessation, and also Scarsdale High School has. And they're using. It's just like what you said. Instead of punishing the kids and suspending them, the kids who get caught vaping, I don't know how many times, are sent to this group. So the group goes 8 weeks. It's research-based in that, you know, it's tested and it's based on stages of change. So it's not about any medication or a patch.
So more like a cognitive behavioral therapy.
It's cognitive behavioral therapy. So if the kids want to quit and they come every week, it's got a really high quit rate. And that's been tested on large samples. But if the kids don't want to quit and they have, you know, the numbers change. But that's the nicotine cessation that Kevin was just talking about that we have now in Westport starting in October.
Yes.
In the kids and the children that you're working with, is there, can you characterize the percentage of kids who actually know that it's not good for them and want to quit? And what percentage of the kids and students are having conversations with their families around all of this information? Because there's a lot of information coming out, and you talk about education, and not making it community. But I'm just curious to know, since you, it sounds like they've worked with the police,
yes.
But when you run through the kids, what percentage of them are actually trying to do stop?
So right now, first of all, we would never do research with kids who wanted to stop using at that point. When they're done with our research, we do a motivational interview with them, and we help them, and we give them the best tools that we know right now. But no, none of them, and even with the stuff in the news, we hear so much, everybody's talking, oh, those are just the people that are using the THC oil and it's the black market. No, that's not the case. We don't really know everything right now.
There's no common liquid that they use. Not all of them were THC users. Some were just using nicotine. So there's still a whole lot that the CDC's got to try to figure out. So the kids aren't even really affected with that part of it either. So the reason for our research, like Kevin was saying earlier, was so we can prove, because it's very hard. When you have a market as big as we have right now, with all the flavors, to just say, flavors, you got banned. So they need, we work with the FDA to give them the data, the hard facts, so they can see, given the choice between tobacco, menthol, and a nice sweet flavor like strawberry or vanilla, the kids are always going to like the strawberry or vanilla more, even adults. And we work with young adults as well. And they have to choose likability and what they would use more, and it's more favoring the flavors. So that's what our research is right now. Did I answer your question? What part did I not answer?
I just, if any of them talk to their parents,
parents don't know. I go into schools and lecture, and half the teachers don't know half the stuff that I'm talking about, which is why I mandate that the teachers sit in the room too. If this was your class, it was supposed to be in your classroom, sit down in here with them, because you need to know this too. The parents are buying these for the kids, so they don't even know everything that's going on. But I wish it was easier. And then when I do talks for parents, no parents show up because it's not their kid. Yes.
How do certain states like Massachusetts come back, or when they come back, what's going to happen in the black market, all the harmless intensity?
Oh, it's going to be there. I mean, first of all, you have all these vape shops that have so much supply. You have all these companies that are selling it. They're going to have a problem with black market for a while. I think they know that. It's not going to just disappear. I mean, raising the age to 21 in Connecticut definitely makes it harder. So you don't have seniors in high school that are legal to buy it to sell to everybody else. Not a lot of freshmen are hanging out with 21-year-olds. So that part makes it a little bit easier. But there are still a lot of websites that it's easy to get from. And I don't usually give Juul much kudos, but when I try and buy products from them for my show and tells and whatnot, they not only ask for a picture ID to scan in, but they want a selfie of me holding a picture ID because they know the kids can get into their parents' wallets and take a picture of their ID. But then you just go on another site that sells
Juul
and
buy it.
Yes.
I mean, based on all of your research, do you think vaping is healthier than smoking? I mean, do you believe that narrative?
Vaping is cleaner. So we don't have tar. We don't have carbon monoxide and a lot of the other chemicals that are in cigarettes. But there's so much we don't know about vaping. We just recently published a paper, one of the doctors in our group, 2 months ago, that the chemicals that go into the Juul, be it alone, they're fine. When you put them together, they're creating new chemicals, and the new chemicals they're creating are harmful. So we're learning no nicotine is better. But to choose, I personally wouldn't be able to say vaping is better. But we certainly don't want people who were trying to quit the switch to vaping to go back to combustible cigarettes. Because we know 100% cigarettes cause cancer. We got that. It took us 100 years before we could prove that to people, but we got it. We don't have that yet for vaping. So as long as we have that going for us, we have to say that it's cleaner than smoking. But again, that's not going to apply to our kids because the kids weren't smoking.
second question. Someone mentioned to me that there aren't any really any reported cases of all these illnesses in Europe from vaping, but there's a lot of vaping on the air. Do you have any idea like why that might be the case?
I do not. And we actually had one of our researchers was just on an Australian news station. From what I hear, and this again is just hearsay, none of this is documents, because I have no idea why they don't have a problem. From what I hear, it's not happening a lot with kids there first, so you don't have that tremendous amount of nicotine addiction with the adolescents. And maybe the adults are just switching from combustible cigarettes to this, but they're doing it. They're not having to sneak in. Look on YouTube. I don't know how many Europeans are making these YouTube commercials. We got whole conventions, like filling a civic center of vapors. It's just a vaping convention and vape tricks. We did a year's worth of research on just vape tricks and the sponsor. It's incredible how many YouTube commercials are out there, videos, whatever they are. So, I don't know if it's that kind of thing in Europe, and maybe they're using it not as much. I don't know. I'm sure someone will be figuring that out. Yes?
What do you see that's particularly effective, and I imagine it's true not just of vaping, but other substance use as well? What's particularly effective in terms of prevention with kids, I would say particularly in middle school, and because, as you pointed out, there's not just millions of dollars of advertising out there, social media, celebrity, celebrities on Instagram using it, and it's just so hard to imagine how back then. I could hear a really quick story. My daughter was in middle school, and she knows kids who do vape. And she mentioned that one of them kind of got scared straight when she saw something on TikTok about all these people who are getting the lung disease. And they're like, TikTok? I thought they did silly dances and lip syncing on TikTok. I didn't know they were getting news on TikTok. And I was like, do public health people know that they need to be on TikTok? You know, there's always some new platform where push, and what do you see that most kids really get the message?
So, again, it's just to prevent them from starting, it's just having a conversation, not drilling the information into their head. There's plenty of opportunity to see people vaping. Use that as your cue. What do you think about that? How do you feel about vaping? Talk to them about, do you know what's in it? Or do you think it's an aerosol or do you think it's a water vapor? And just like inform them. And the more they, I have kids that I know for a fact are vaping and they'll come up to me afterwards and they're like, I have no idea. I said, no, you didn't. You wouldn't have made these decisions if you did. Now we got to try and reverse all this stuff. But really just talking to them and not lecturing to them. Understand, I get it. Everything out there showing me this is pretty cool. And without people dying of cancer, you know, to you it looks like a healthy thing. To kids, their minds don't work like ours do. Especially in mom, we're like, oh gosh, we're riding your bike down the hill. Oh wait, now me. I'm like, oh, this is gonna happen, this is gonna happen. Or my son didn't text me back because he locked in a trunk somewhere. Because 6'1" is certainly not locked in a trunk somewhere. But, you know, my mind goes and goes and goes. Their minds are in the moment. Living for the moment. That's it. So, if you could just spark a conversation with them and have a non-judgmental conversation so they can start to think about it. And a plan is always good for them because when you're caught off guard with that peer pressure, that's usually how the first time happens. Any other
I've seen the news recently about vaping detectors in some schools, or what are your thoughts on it? Are they
a waste of money? Yeah. Hope that's not being recorded, but so the way those vape detectors work for vaping is that it senses the change in the atmosphere. It can detect the change in the molecules. Well, that sends a signal to the office, and then somebody from the office has to dispatch somebody to go there. So
if they're lucky enough to catch somebody, nobody else is going to be exhaling except for in their shirt, so it doesn't detect it. So, you can't stop them. They're going to do what they want to do. It's everywhere. It's in public schools. It's in private schools. My kids are in private schools. It's everywhere. My son, sometimes I wish he wasn't as open as he is, but he tells me about all these kids. And he just told me about a new product that's out there now. There's like a disposable jewel type thing. I said, why do they have this? And they said, because mine, it's cheaper. And then they don't have to worry if they get caught. They just toss it. So, whereas the jewel is much more of an investment, they don't want to toss that. And it has probably 300 puffs in it, so more than one jewel pod in it. So it's just, you're not going to, the market has already gone crazy. You're never going to be able to stop them from thinking about it. You know, okay, there's a detector here. So everything online shows them how to get away with it. So, anybody else? Oh, one more.
If we stop successfully, can you reverse some of the effects in the body?
The dopamine receptors can come back. So we usually try and tell them, okay, do things you enjoy, because by doing things you enjoy, that produces more dopamine. And things that make you happy, that kind of thing. So those can come back. The memory, the attention, and the learning, we've not seen that reverse yet. Anybody else? Well, thank you guys very much for coming.
You're welcome.